Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. It is another week of Camp Required Reading, and we have a returning guest, Kira Sullivan, from like episode 10 or something. So early. So early. Kira is a stand-up comedian, writer, and content creator based out of Brooklyn. You're gonna have to help me with this pronunciation. She hosts the annual What's the Craic St. Patrick's Day show at
Yeah,
Union Hall.
crack. It's pronounced like crack. But you wouldn't
What's
know
the
that from
crack?
the spelling.
Well, I feel like so fake Irish. My name is Erin, and I'm like, it's in there, I promise.
Exactly.
She hosts the annual What's the Craic St. Patrick's Day show at Union Hall and regularly performs stand-up across the city. On social media, her comedic takes have been excuse me, have inspired and been featured in articles from Rolling Stone, Bustle, Bloomberg, The Washington Post, and more. Besides front-facing comedy, Kira's humor-infused personal essays can be read on her Substack, the Kira Sullivan Substack, where she publishes longer-form pieces such as The Curse of Being an Advanced Reader as a Child and Why We Tell Breakup Horror Stories. Hello!
Hi, Erin. Oh my God, you read the full bio. That's exciting. You did a really great job. You've got a great bio reading voice.
Thank you.
I feel like you could
Our
totally
book.
do ASMR
Oh, gosh.
on an
I feel
unrelated
like
note, and you have the equipment.
I do, and I would love money.
Something to consider. Something
I'll
to
write that
consider.
down. I'll write that down. Just ASMR big on my notes. Our book today is, I don't even know what number it is. It's from another entry into the Goosebumps universe from R.L. Stine, The Horror at Camp Jelly Jam.
Guys, you don't even know the atrocities that were going on at Camp Jelly Jam. It's so fucked up. It's so twisted.
Genuine atrocities. Like, I.
Genuine atrocities. Human right atrocities.
Human
No,
rights violations occurring.
literally, like, we're not exaggerating.
I think this is book 33. When I went through the whole list of like RL of Goosebumps novels, of Fear Street novels, looking for seeing which ones are about camp, collected all the titles, and I was like, this one has the craziest title. Camp Jelly Jam. We must find out what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I'm seeing someone right now, and I texted. I was like, I'm reading this book for a podcast. And then they literally text me back, like, holy fuck, that cover is freaking me out so much. What's going on? Like, even the cover is like pretty chilling.
The cover is a giant purple blob holding a mop. That's all I can say. Coming out of a dark tunnel, absolutely horrifying. It's
Wait, wait.
who's
I think I saw a different cover. Wait, I'm going to.
this is like a reprint on
Oh my
my
God, wait. Wait, the
email.
reprint one you're looking at is actually much more terrifying. Mine was like the old one of Billy.
Yeah. With the guy's face. That's the one I'm gonna post. Yes.
That's the classic.
This is my favorite Goosebumps book I've read so far. It's maybe my fifth or my sixth because it's not just a twist ending. The twists and turns are every page.
So excited to get into it, but one thing I loved about this book is I swear to God, every single chapter ends with the main girl asking a series of questions. It's like every chapter ends with her being like, why is everyone acting so weird? Question mark. What's going on? Question mark. And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking the exact, she really is like the audience mouthpiece in it. And I didn't find it annoying. I liked the fact that she was ending every chapter on that note because I was like, you're on the right track, girl. Stay curious, you know?
Stay curious.
Stay curious. Stay
It's.
curious.
I don't even remember what this girl's name is.
Was it
Wendy.
what Wendy?
Wendy and her
Wendy.
brother Elliot.
Yes.
Book starts with Wendy and her brother Elliot in the back of, in the like attached trailer, going camping with her parents. The trailer becomes detached. Goes down a cliff, falls off the cliff, goes flying, and she and Elliot end up at Camp Jelly Jam.
Yeah, and this
And
isn't even the
madness
horror
happens.
yet. The horror part hasn't,
No!
the trailer detaching, that's not even the horror.
I forgot about it. I like you just buy into them. So they like end up at the camp. The counselors are like, okay, come in and we'll figure it out. We'll get your parents somehow. that you forget. You're just like, no, they're at the camp. There's no parents freakishly worried about them.
Yeah, I have two annotations from the early thing, which is
Yes.
number one, at the start of it, when they're in like the car with their parents, they're complaining about like, oh, it's boring and stuff. And then they added the fact that they were in Idaho, and that actually, me and my family did a vacation to Wyoming, but we ended up staying in Driggs, Idaho for a good portion of it. And it's such a small town, it's so eerie, and it is so boring. And I actually thought, like, you guys are actually not Broad Kids. Like, that is actually a boring fucking place. And it is weird as hell. Because I remember it was like the smallest town we'd ever been to. And me and my sisters went to a county fair that we thought, like, the county fair in Maryland is like rides and stuff. This was literally a livestock auction with just the biggest seesaw we had ever seen. And these like girls our age, who were like 10, came up to us and were like, we saw you earlier today. And we were like, what? And they were like, yeah, well, we don't get many newcomers around here. And we were like, holy
No, that
fuck.
sounds like a Goosebumps novel. Oh
Right.
my
So that's
gosh.
my other note. On page three, they're describing like what her and her family looks like, and they just randomly add in about the mom, and she's kind of plump. I was like,
He does
what?
that a lot. It's
I was like,
never like super negative, but it's always mentioned.
yeah, it's always mentioned, which I thought was interesting. And then the crazy thing about the parents is like, if I was in her situation, my mother and father, they would be at Camp Jelly Jam,
They would get there.
pounding down the doors. Like the idea of my parents just like, of like, oh, we'll call your parents. I'd be like, no, you don't understand. They're gonna be freaking out.
Yes. I totally miss the fact that it's in Idaho. I went to Boise last year and I enjoyed Boise. It's a small city, but it's nice. But we did a lot of driving outside the city and we went to Idaho City, which is like a museum and nothing else. It's
Wow.
like an abandoned mining town. And driving through like the mountains, gorgeous, eerie. But those mountains are huge. It's in the mountains. So that just makes the trailer sequence even more horrifying. This kid should not have survived.
No, and you can see why King Jelly Jam holed up there. Why it's the perfect place for the Camp Jelly Jam and the atrocities and the horror that took place there to happen, a good setting.
This is skipping so far ahead. There's always a behind the screams section. And in there, it's revealed that King Jelly Jam comes from gelatin going into a radioactive cave. And I bet Idaho does have
Wait.
that.
I didn't even know there was a behind the screen section because I had so many questions at the end. I'm actually really excited to hear from you what was
Yeah.
happening behind the screens because I was left
They're.
wanting a little more answers.
It's always so fun. There's always like a very playful interview and like an activity and an arts and crafts. I have an ebook from Hoopla. Extremely good. They're so cute and fun.
That's awesome.
But so much has happened and we haven't even gotten to camp. They get to camp, Jelly Jam. It's an athletics camp. And Elliot wanted to go to camp. They were like, I don't want to go on the family vacation. I want to go to camp. Everyone's dressed in white. I got a lot of cult vibes from this, which I enjoyed and was not too far off in the end.
Instantly, I was like, okay, it's a cult. Like, they are greeted by Buddy, who is a counselor at Camp Jelly Jam, and he's instantly described as like really hot and like very much someone who's like drank the Kool-Aid. I highlighted a part on page 11 where it says, Buddy flashed me another dazzling smile. And I wrote here, Jane Austen rule, never trust a handsome man. And this is true. In every Jane Austen novel, the guy who's charming and dazzling at first is evil. So already you're like, something's kind of wrong with Buddy. Again, they literally just crash landed from a detached trailer. And Buddy's like, hey, how are you guys? Y'all good? And it's like,
Come on
what?
in.
It's like, oh, we'll get to you. We'll find your parents.
They immediately launch into sports. Elliot loves sports. He's so excited. Then,
Wait,
yeah.
wait, wait, wait.
Yes.
We forgot one important thing. One important
Yes.
thing, which is that when they're walking to Camp Jelly Jam, a redhead girl pops out of the woods. She literally pops out, goes, run away! Don't come in! Run! And then she like looks back and the girl's gone. And then Wendy goes, I quickly forgot all about the girl as we made our way around the soccer field, and I wrote here, Wendy, you stupid bitch.
I mean, Wendy was just traumatized, but like, how do you forget that, Wendy?
I would never, I'd be like, oh, there's a girl. We need to find her.
What's happening in Idaho? There's so much.
Sorry, keep going. It's just that there's so much detail,
Oh,
but like.
there is. And they get to King, they get to Camp Jelly Jam, and everywhere has little, the little mascot of the camp is purple blob, the crown, and that is King Jelly Jam. Big purple blob. And then they immediately start, at least Elliot leaps into whatever sport is bound. And there is the repeated phrase by the counselors and some of the campers, only the best. Again and again and again, only the best.
And I will say that it's like while all this is happening, like literally page 13, she asks Buddy, so where do you come from? And
I have that
suddenly
right here.
Buddy is like, wait, I don't remember where I'm from. Isn't that weird? And then Wendy's response is, hey, I forget stuff all the time, which I thought was awesome. Oh, I also wrote here when, because also it's like, it's not just that the mascot is like, number one, weird mascot, right? Like a purple blob with a crown named King Jelly Jam, weird. But it's also like, she goes into the dorm. The walls are entirely white and bare except for a small framed drawing of King Jelly Jam. I wrote King Jelly Jam is the JFK of this camp.
I thought North Korea. I was like, we have to have a picture of Jelly Jam in every room.
Yes, but I will say that this is kind of a red herring because their counselor Holly has like purple lips. And so I was like, okay, clearly someone's eating the jam. And that doesn't end up happening in the end. It was a good red herring.
He's so,
it
he like
poses
is
a lot
a
of really disturbing questions when you actually figure out what happened at the end. Right?
Honestly, if she was eating the jam, like, good for her. King Jelly Jam, jumping ahead, bad dude. Not a good
King,
guy.
King Jelly, you guys are not even going to believe the lore behind who King Jelly Jam is.
I highlighted exactly those passages as well. Elliot's getting super into it. Wendy is not. Wendy is not, not really, she's an athlete. She's not competitive. I wanted to talk, I mean, generally, I wanted to talk about your experiences with camp, especially because we grew up pretty close to each other, but
Yeah.
also your thoughts on competition in general.
Right, because the main kind of monologues that we're getting from Wendy at this point is her being like, me and my friends just like play for fun. Why does everyone care about winning so much? I feel like camp for me, did you do Kaleva growing up? Camp Kaleva?
No, but I remember the name. Like, I remember kids going on trips. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, I went to Camp Kaleva, like, not intensely, but like for a few summers. And like, I did like rock climbing one time or like horseback riding one time. And you'd be on like a different like team, like a blue or red. And like, you'd have some fun competitions, but it wasn't like super competitive. I feel like I wasn't really a competitive child except for around my sisters. I feel like especially me being the second born and the middle child, I kind of came into the world being like, I was like, I'm Serena Williams. She's Venus. I was very Serena Williams of like, it's my destiny to overtake my older sister, who was of course like the nicest, sweetest, quietest girl who she was nothing but kind to me. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I will defeat her. But it was mostly just like, I never did the full sleepaway camp experience. I would always go to like a couple camps during the summer. I would do adventure theater camp every single year. That is obviously not competitive. Theater is a very communal process. And then I did play like classic soccer for a bit. And I remember I did field hockey camp once. I did soccer camp once. But again, that wasn't really competitive. It was just like training for the season. And I fucking hated it. Because I was bad at soccer at this point.
Did you play for your school teams?
No, I was so... Okay, this is crazy. So my sports journey is really interesting. Of like, when I was a child, I was like the star of all my sports teams. I just had really good hand-eye coordination. But when puberty hit, it was like suddenly everyone got taller than me, and suddenly everyone got much faster than me. I think before puberty hit, I always had this idea in my head that, like, if I lived in ancient times, I would be hunting with the men. And then, like, it became very clear, like, no, I would have been a breeder woman. Like, my hips were not made for aerodynamics. So it's like the only way I could describe it, but it's like, unfortunately, it really doesn't matter how good you are with like hand-eye coordination. If people are, it's really hard to get over everyone else being faster than you. I'm so naturally slow and bad at running. In fact, the last time both of my sisters saw me run, they started crying laughing. And I asked my little sister, why are you laughing? Both times I was running uphill, and she said, you can tell that you're using all the power in your body, but you're not going anywhere. Like, that's how
Reminds me,
bad I am at running.
I was never athletic. My whole family has this identity of like, we're not athletic. Like, my mom's cousin is randomly a football coach. We're all like, we don't know where it came from.
I really like sports, but like for fun. Because once I couldn't win, I was like, hey guys, let's just not even keep score. Let's just do this for the love of the game. Like, once I got bad at it, I was like, maybe it's not all about winning. But I don't ever remember being like, I definitely didn't come from like a culture of like only the best. You know, I wasn't growing up with the creed of King Jelly Jam.
Yes, because if you win an event, you get a medal. And if you get 6 medals, you get to be in the winner's walk that night, and then you disappear.
And then no one ever sees you again. But what's your camp experience, though? What's your
Oh,
camp
yeah.
lore?
I went to a day camp in Boyd's every year. For like, most of my camp was Girl Scouts, and I loved it. I met my best friend there, so sweet and cute, and I was a counselor. I did sleep with them twice in late elementary school. And then this is like the fifth or sixth camp episode I've done, and I can't believe I haven't mentioned this yet. I also twice went to a Harry Potter day camp at a Quaker school.
Oh my God, awesome! Wait, I need to hear all about that.
I did it twice. I think I was in middle school. My family is not religious, but my mom's always like, the Quakers are cool. They're chill.
They have always been cool.
They are. So we would go like 45 minutes away to this tiny Quaker school, and it was mostly like Harry Potter trivia. Yeah, and like maybe themed activities and snacks. And we had a Triwizard tournament, and I
Awesome.
remember. One aspect was of the three, one aspect was trivia. One was a hula hoop competition, and I did win that. I
That's
will
huge.
keep that forever. And I don't remember what the third thing was, but I do remember just being like so chill, so casual. We would like hang out at the little tiny library in the little tiny Quaker school and like go on. There's a beautiful patch of woods behind it. It
Wait, that's
was very
awesome.
nice.
I forgot that also another camp I went to. I did 2 years where I went to surf ocean camp in Malibu because my aunt lives in Malibu. And 1 year I went myself, the next year my sisters came with me. Again, like technically like outdoor sporty base because like you're swimming all day. But again, like so chill. You're just at the, it was basically beach camp. And again, that was awesome. Also, like the hottest man I have ever seen in my entire life was a counselor there. And
Classic.
that's what got us up in the morning every day.
Oh my
was this
gosh, I know.
gorgeous man. I remember going to California being like, why is it? I was like, oh my God. Like every guy here is a hunk. I was
It's
shocked.
everywhere. Yeah. Oh my
Kind of
gosh.
overwhelming.
I think it was a summer. I went to, did you know, like Black Rock Arts Center? It was like a theater space mostly, like geared towards kids. And I did a mosaic course, I think, for like a week. We just made mosaics and it was really fun and cool. Yeah, I liked
Well,
it. I don't know.
I feel like we have similar camp timelines of like we both went to like a lot of different camps. My main one when I think of like camp growing up is like I did do adventure theater camp for like at least a month, like every year from like when I was like a child to probably like the end of middle school. So like that's probably the most important camp, but still it was like only 1 month of my summer and it was not intense at all. Whereas I have a lot of friends, because especially Bethesda is like half Catholic, half Jewish. So I had like half my friends every summer go away to like Jewish sleepaway camp for like 2 months. And they would come back always with like a camp boyfriend. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yes, I was talking to someone else about that. Montgomery Village was less Jewish, so we had less of that. I also think like Montgomery Village is a little less wealthy than Bethesda, so maybe it was a little bit out of the pocketbook. Oh wait, the one last thing, talking about summers where we grew up in Montgomery County, Maryland. What was the impact? So, in Montgomery Village, swim team was huge. I don't swim.
Wait.
Yes, say more.
This is okay. So we also have need to clarify, like, for the audience, like, in the Rio Olympics, if Maryland were its own country, it would have come in third, right?
Yes.
The reason for that is that the state of Maryland creates sharks. I don't know what it is exactly. I think it's probably because, like, Maryland is a pretty wealthy state. Swimming is kind of like, it's not that accessible, but maybe it's also just the crab cake. I don't know. But like, Maryland has a very, very intense like swimming culture. And again, yeah, I feel like that's actually really like when I think of my summers growing up, it was really that I did dive team on for the Mohican Pool. So like, if you weren't going to like a sleepaway camp in the summer, your culture was basically based off which pool you belong to. And then
Yes.
swim team was huge, dive team was huge. I was on dive team because I was like, swimming was way too much work. And it was so chill and it was so much fun. And yeah, like we did competitions and stuff, but like we had meets, but it was like dive team. So it was so low key. But actually, I'm so glad you brought that up because I was trying to think like, oh, I guess I didn't really have that much camp experience. But no, it was, I like hung out at the pool every single day with my friends.
Swim team, and I'm glad you mentioned it as a Maryland thing. Michael Phelps, Marylander. Katie Ledecky, Marylander.
Kaylee Decky like literally like grew up 5 minutes from me.
Yes. To the point where like I had a lot of friends swim team. I remember like coming into school the day after a meet and people would be like, "I touched Katie Ledecky's foot yesterday."
No,
Like it
exactly.
was
They were literally like all swimming with like genuine actual Olympians. And also like swimming was so intense. Like kids would come to school with their hair wet because they would have swim practice at like 4 in the morning. It was so, and I don't know what it is about Maryland. I think it's a confluence of Maryland's pretty wealthy, but also it's hot enough in the summer that like you really can't be outside without having water somewhere nearby. Like it just has this institution of like creating human shark beasts that
Yes.
win the Olympics every single year.
Yeah, I knew a girl who got up, like you said, at 4 in the morning every day to swim. And we had anytime we had like an overnight field trip in high school, which only happened like twice, maybe in 4 years, she couldn't go because she couldn't miss swim. I know my high school was very, very, I went to Poolsville, very small. It was like a magnet school. No one cared about sports. During like ninth grade orientation, the guidance counselor was like, "If you want to be on a sport, we're going to get you on the team, okay? You're going to, like, if you really want to do a sport, we'll make it happen." But our swim team won, I think, like states 1 year, our girls' swim team. And I was like, "What are we doing? We don't do this."
No, that's awesome. I will say, okay, one more thing about camp is again, the guy I'm seeing right now comes from like a very camp heavy culture. And this is crazy. His parents met at the camp that he went to, and his older sister and older brother are both like about to get married to people they met at this camp. Isn't that
Wow.
crazy? And then
I
also,
love that.
his uncle also met his wife at the camp. And he was telling me all this, and I was like, well, I didn't go to this camp.
What
I
I'm
was like,
doing here?
it's so funny that we're doing a camp-based episode because you have no idea how much like I've heard the word camp more than I ever have in this past month. And I'm like, wait, but I didn't go to this camp. And he was like, no, it's good. You didn't. It's become too much. Like, it's too much. There are too many camp relationships in my family. And I was like, well, I hope so. And I had to be like, so you're sure there's no possibility of you ever marrying someone from this camp? And he was like, yes, there's no chance. It's so funny that this is the episode, because have I ever had camp on the mind so much. But isn't that, like, I had friends who went to, again, like, Jewish camp, very intense and stuff. But there are some people where it's like their camp is really like the culture they grow up in. And like the three marriages in his family have come from that one camp.
That is insane. And yeah, and yet I think like the main difference was like all the camps I went to, I mean 90% of them were Girl Scout camps. So like just the fact of like, I mean, obviously I didn't know I was gay until like my last year of camp, but it's so like impossible in my mind to be like, there are boys there?
You
What?
didn't know you were gay at the Quaker camp, at the Quaker Harry Potter camp, Eric. That wasn't assigned to you. That wasn't your first hint. Sorry. It's like, what? I could have told you that.
At least something is something is divergent from the norm.
Something, you're like, this just sat
They're
in
a
the
little
library all
different.
day. That adds up.
Hula hooping.
But also, what I'll say is, I understand also why actually so many camp relationships happen, especially when it's like, because usually it's like you become a camper, then you become a camp counselor. And this was true with like all my friends who went to sleepaway camp. A lot of relationships did blossom because it's like you're with each other 24/7. And at first I was like, oh my God, it's so crazy and weird that like everyone in your family met at this camp. And he was like, well, think about it. It's like you meet when you're young, you spend all this time together, you're taking care of kids. It's all people who like really
Oh
like
my
kids. And
gosh.
I was like, wait, it actually kind of is like the perfect vessel to like meet your life partner. So that made more
That's
sense. But
wild.
still, I have had camp on the brain recently.
Well, hopefully the guy you're seeing's camp turned out differently because little D
Wait, we need to get back to the horrors. The horrors. That took place.
I forget exactly how it happened. No, I think lights out, the campers are in the cabins. Wendy says, people are missing. I must find out. Her roommate wins all the medals, is in the winner's walk, and then disappears.
And also the winners walk like very kind of like a lot of torches, and it's like they go out looking for Holly because they were gonna meet up after the winner's walk. The girls were gonna have a kiki. Holly never comes back. Then again, that little redhead girl comes out running from the woods, like, help me! And then she disappears again, once again. But at this point, like, Wendy has tried to call her parents. The phones don't work. So Wendy at this point is staying really curious, getting a really bad feeling. She feels like she needs to investigate.
Yes, she's taking it upon herself. She's worried about her little brother, who's
Yes.
getting very determined to win, and she decides to follow the counselors
Yeah.
and ends up in a basement somehow, and they're having a big meeting. She's hiding in the back and she sneezes. And that was a fantastic moment of suspense and drama.
That was a really good cliffhanger. Wait, let me get to the. She follows the counselors, and then in the middle of the woods is this like white structure. And again, she's asking questions. What is this strange building? I wondered. Why is it hidden away in the trees? And you have to like, yeah, you have to like kind of like duck into this low entrance. She goes in,
Yes.
and then a purple banner
I.
hangs over the stage. Only the best. They're having this kind of crazy meeting. What does Buddy say? He says, time to refresh our minds, time to refresh our mission. And he's raising the gold coin, hypnotizing everyone. And he says, clear your minds to serve the master. Really scary. And then the chapter ends with, and then I sneezed, period.
And then the next chapter, she recovers somehow. They don't see her. She is surrounded by mops and buckets. She goes down a long tunnel. the air grew hot and damp. My shoes splashed through puddles on the tunnel floor. And then the end of that chapter is I stopped and stared at the ugliest, most frightening thing I had ever seen in my life.
And I swear to God, she's not exaggerating. Because also, while she's going down these stairs, she like starts to describe the air as like,
yes,
the odor was so strong I could taste it. The most like sour air, like it actually even like kind of clogs up my throat, even like reading about it. And I need to, because I wrote literally in the annotations here, actually quite terrifying.
Yes.
I need to describe King Jelly Jam.
Yes, not I have the description. Yes.
Wait, please, please read it out. Because what we're going to see here is not only King Jelly Jam, but the forced child slavery system that he has created. Aaron, take it away.
I'm going to just read a lot of it.
Yeah, please. They need to know.
Squinting into the bright light, I saw dozens of kids with mops and buckets and air hoses. At first, they were cleaning off a giant purple balloon, bigger than any balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. But as the water sprayed over it and the mop soaped its sides, the balloon let out a loud groan. And I'm not acting. This is a real tremble in my voice.
No, exactly.
And I realized I wasn't staring at a balloon. It was a creature. And the creature was alive. I was staring at a monster. I was staring at King Jelly Jam. Not a cute little mascot, but a fat, gross, purple mound of slime, nearly as big as a house, wearing a gold crown.
Wearing a gold crown.
Two enormous, watery, yellow eyes rolled around in his head. He smacked his fat purple lips and groaned again. Hunks of thick white goo dripped from his huge hairy nostrils. The disgusting odor rolled off his body. Even holding my nose couldn't keep out the sour stench. He smelled like dead fish, rotting garbage, sour milk, and burning rubber all at once. Skipping a tiny bit. The kids, dozens of them, worked frantically. They circled the ugly monster. They hosed him down, scrubbed his body with mops and sponges and brushes. And as they worked, little round objects rained down on them. Click, click, click. The little round things clattered to the floor. Snails! Snails popping out through King Jelly Jam's skin! I started to gag when I realized the hideous creature was sweating snails.
That is, like, actually so terrifying, the sweating snails. Like, actually is really chilling.
I mean, obviously, it conjures images of Jabba the Hutt. Also, Dune. The snails is the thing that gets me the most.
I'm really interested to hear if the Behind the Screams addresses the snails.
We'll have to double check. There's I've written down something called stink scale. So we'll have to circle back to that. But then one of the girls that she was with who had disappeared says, "Only the best." She whispers, "Only the best get to be King Jelly Jam slaves."
The idea of King Jelly Jam, a radioactive evil jelly king, starting a sports camp so as to get the most athletic kids to wash him 24/7. Because they also, she's literally like, "Why are you guys doing this?" And the girl's like, "He has to be washed all the time. He has to be kept wet and he can't stand his own smell. So he gets the strongest kids down here and makes us wash him day and night. But if we stop washing, he'll eat us." Apparently, he ate three kids that day. That's terrifying.
And he's eating. It's hard to, and he's burping. And
the snails.
The counselors are hypnotizing. The thing I think about the snails that gets me the most is like they're pop out of him. Keep thinking that could take your eye out. I'm thinking they're like projectiles shooting out of him. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think at the reveal of King Jelly Jam, I was obviously terrified. It was a really great twist. But what I will say is that I think the ending felt a little bit rushed to me. And her plan, I was like, how'd you know that would work? I don't get how she had that thought process. But I was ultimately just happy to see King Cheolicheom defeated.
Yes, because they stop hosing him down and he explodes. Am I
Yeah,
remembering this correctly?
basically she just like tells all the kids to stop and lay down, and he can't, his big jelly hands can't pick them up, and he suffocates from his own stench.
Yeah.
And that's how they get him. And that's when also that, I guess, breaks the hypnotism. I'm also really interested to hear if the behind the screams goes over how everyone was hypnotized.
Oh, I'm not sure. I just in that remembered that during camp there's quakes and all the counselors are
Yes.
like, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. We find out that from that King Jellyjam under the ground burning, shaking the tectonic plates.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. But also interesting, because at the end, also they reunite with their parents, and the mom and
Yes.
dad say, like, the police checked everywhere trying to find you two. Is there a reason that no parents, why is it that no one could find this camp? That's also not explained.
That's true. And is
I think
it?
ultimately it is a children's
Yeah.
book and it's fine, but there's just a lot. It's like, yeah, King Jellyjam, you're not going to get all the answers.
No. And I am thinking about it like Twin Peaks almost, of like their
Yeah.
townspeople in on it. Are they like purposely sacrificing children to King Jellyman? Do they have to send him? Is he in league with the mayor? It just.
Yeah. It's also like pretty crazy that it's like King Jellyjam dies, but it's not like when he dies, the kids that he ate came back to life. Like they're dead.
They
And I
are
guess
dead.
I guess I kind of glossed over that when I first read, but it's kind of just hitting me now. Like, how many souls has he taken?
Three in one day.
Three
And
in
how
one
long
day,
has this
he's
been happening?
right. And also, there's the question, like, I wonder how the. So, do we? Here's my thing: is do we think
Yes.
that King Jellyjam somehow caused the trailer to break off earlier?
Oh.
Because how is he getting all these kids?
Yes, that's a very good point. Actually, because it seems like they can't find the camp. The
Yeah.
police and I'm not sure, but it is because I don't think we know like how it detaches, but then if he can shake the ground, maybe he can like
Yeah.
shake the mountains and cause that to happen.
Well, he clearly
I
holds that kind of tectonic power. He's really
yes.
powerful. He has apparently the powers of hypnotism, and he can create slaves, and he's apparently intelligent enough to have this kind of great scheme and ruse to get the most athletic children.
I am like, he couldn't have done this alone. He has to be wet all the time. How did this
Right?
happen? Like, who did, who's in on it? Oh my
No, exactly. It's like
goodness.
there's, if you think about it like a little bit deeper, you're like, wait a second, I've got so many more questions, but I'd like to hear
Yes.
the behind the screams if you have them.
Yes. I have it pulled up here. And these are always very playful. Like he's always winking at it. King Jellyjam is one of the grossest characters out there. Where did the idea for such a hideous character come from? I wish I knew. He just popped into my head. Sometimes my ideas come from something I've seen or experienced, and sometimes they just come out of nowhere. King Jellyjam leaped into my mind and started stinking up the place. Still, I'm skipping through. He's plugging some future books. Okay, and then there's something called Fright Gallery, King Jellyjam, Origins. A careless camper left a cup of gelatin deep in a cave that was contaminated with radiation and slimy snails. King Jellyjam was born out of this strange mix of ingredients, and children everywhere were given another reason not to litter.
Wow. Okay, so that actually makes sense that there was already a camp there. Okay,
Yes.
that actually answers probably like 90% of my questions.
Hobbies and interests, personal hygiene, collecting bath soaps, and scented candles.
Yeah.
The next is top five scariest campfire stories. And I like this because he gives tips on how to narrate these and make them extra scary, which I think is cute.
Ooh, okay, that's fun.
Bloody Mary, babysitter on the phone call, graveyard at night, disappearing hitchhiker, and the hook. We love that one.
Hook.
We both did a little hook.
Yeah. When you hear something called the hook, it's like
It's automatic. the stink scale, which goes from sweaty socks and Brussels sprouts up to King Jelly Jam. Need we say
Yeah, he's the
more?
top of that stink scale.
He's the top of that stink scale. And then activity, slime hunt. Boys and girls, this is Sergeant Slime Buster, and I'm going to teach you a thing or two about your enemy, slime. Given the right environment, we could have dozens of King Jelly Jams on our hands. Do you want to be controlled by a fat blob for the rest of your life? I don't think so.
Okay, loving this
And
vibe.
he basically says, clean your house, take a shower,
Actually, a
and
really good message to children.
I know, and it's like there's bacteria in your sinks and showers and toilet bowls. You can find slime right in your own mouth. Brush your teeth. I'm going to teach you how to obliterate your enemy. It's a real interesting concept called cleaning. So the next time your parents ask you to lend a helping hand with the chores, don't you dare roll your eyes at them and whine about it. Pick up a brush and start cleaning. Just remember, the toilet brush is for the toilet and the toothbrush is for your teeth.
A beautiful message to kids. I can't think of anything that would scare me into cleaning more than King Jelly Jam.
Truly effective. And the next thing, the last thing, is a sneak peek into Goosebumps Horror Land number 9. Welcome to Camp Slither.
Camp Slither.
Snakes on the cover.
Snake.
Snakes
Wait,
in the
let me look. I'm
cave.
gonna look up the cover of Camp Slither right now. I will say that King Jelly Jam, a lot more terrifying than just snakes.
Yes.
It's really hard to beat King Jelly Jam in a gross, scary competition. He's taking it.
He's taking it, and what I love about this Goosebumps book is that it is hit after hit. It is never
Yeah.
stopping. It is just because King Jelly Jam is the end, we can have other stuff. We can have trailers falling off
No, it's
mountains.
it absolutely is like the stakes are raised throughout. They never stop raising. I was gripped. I was hooked. I was intrigued. I was scared for my life. I was disgusted. I felt all the things I wanted to feel when reading a Goosebumps novel.
Me too. Thank you, R.L. Stein.
Thank you, R.L. Stine, for your
Gross.
work. For your beautiful canon that you've created. You know what? King Jelly Jam's not coming back on our watch, is all I'll say.
We're brushing our teeth. We're taking showers. We're cleaning our room.
Yeah, you know what? It's a really good message that I think some people need to take stock of that message and learn a thing or
And
two.
don't litter. I
Yeah,
wish
don't be a
that had
careless
been
camper.
in the content of the book,
Yeah,
but
because I thought the moral was more about like not being competitive or like you don't
yeah.
always need to win. So I thought the littering would have been a good extra thing to add outside of the behind the screams.
Yeah, but thank gosh he's gone. Would you consider this book required reading? Summer reading?
Yeah,
Anything?
I think anyone who considers themselves an erudite intellectual should take that. This is kind of next to Dostoevsky and Austen and all the kind of literary greats. And if you want a very, it's a brief like 70 pages, so you're gonna
Yes.
have a lot of fun with it. It's a big font as well, so
Yes.
easy,
I'm
you can
glad
knock it out very quickly.
you brought up Dostoevsky. That's who I was thinking of too.
Yeah, it evokes the same kind of existential horror.
Well, that's it. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Anywhere you can be found?
No, I feel like you hit everything on the bio earlier. Thank you so much for having me on, Erin. A pleasure as always.
Oh my goodness, me too. Well then, keep clean and I'm gonna end the recording.